Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yesterday was the NHL trade deadline, and it didn't look like the Wings were going to do much of anything for most of the afternoon. And then lo and behold, boom, the bold-ass move. And the man who engineered the bold-ass move is the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, Steve Yzerman. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. Obviously, the Mantha trade, the big deal yesterday around the league and, of course, here. Take us through what went down and how you got to that point.
Well, really, as you know, we talked yesterday a little bit, Mike. We're trying to rebuild the team. We're trying to add young assets, whether it be young players, prospects, or draft picks that you know, kind of their age and fit with a team that's rebuilding and an organization that's rebuilding, with the idea of, you know, each year trying to get a little bit more competitive. So at the same time, you know, we all love trading players and getting draft picks, and I think our fans even sense that it's, you know, the draft picks are great and whatnot, but we still have to put a team on the ice. And you know, we want, as we're moving these younger players into the lineup, whether it's Dylan Larkin, who's one of the veterans on the team now, is only 24, to the Philip Zadinas and Michael Rasmussens, and their, you know, who's in his first year in the National Hockey League, really. It's important that they have players around them. So this deal kind of really accomplished two things for us. And one, we acquire Jakob, Richard Panik, two players that fit into our lineup. And we add, again, future assets in the form of a first and a second round draft pick. So, you know, we're, you know, kind of pleased with the trade. It fits with what we're trying to do.
Would you have been able to make the trade if you didn't take Panic, like similar to what people said when the Lions made the Stafford trade, the only reason they traded Goff was to get the extra pick. Is that an accurate analogy at all?
Well, you know, again, I don't know what other options the Washington Capitals had as far as, you know, trying to do it, but I do, or what other things they may or may not wanted to do. But in my discussions with Brian McClellan was, if we're, you know, we're moving Anthony Mantha, whose cap hit is 5.7. The only way, you know, they're tight to the cap. They have a good team with a lot of good players. The only way they can make it work is if they have to move out cap space. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we had to, in order to do it, we, you know, and a lot of these trades now, well, virtually every trade that involves players with any significant type of contract, it involves, you know, you have to figure out a way to make the money work because we all have to get under the cap. So, yeah, that was definitely a you know, an issue that we had to work around.
And I know that the cap issue around the NHL has been a challenge. I was reading a little bit about this trade, and you're taking on contracts, you're, you know, accepting contracts. How difficult was it to actually find an opportunity to create a trade, knowing that the cap is so difficult to deal with right now?
Yeah, well, I think just this year, and it probably is in all sports with some form of a cap, even sports that don't have one, it's a little bit more challenging than usual. But first of all, the most difficult part is finding a trade partner with their goals and your goals are kind of aligned. And so once you kind of narrow that down, and there really not a lot of suitors generally in any trade once you really get down to it seriously. So, you know, we had some common interests with the Caps, and then it comes down to, like, do we have some form of a fit? And it looked like we did. And then it was the third part is, okay, how do we figure out the cap? What do we need to do to make the cap work? And really on every trade around the league, I think you're seeing that. And this was, in my whatever, it's been 12 years or so as a general manager, this has been the most different trade deadline in terms of, you know, interest in your players, value in your players, discussions going on. And then ultimately how the last week played out was just, different, how it was handled by everybody and, kind of our expectations. And as we're getting close to the deadline, adjust our expectations of it. And a lot of it is that just simply the cap was flat. And a year ago, none of us saw this coming. We anticipate the cap going up. You make decisions on your team, particularly the real good teams on, hey, the cap is going up. One, we're trying to add to our team, and two, are, you know, any players that are coming up are usually good players and their cap numbers going up, and then all of a sudden our cap is flat and looks like it might remain flat for a while. You know, we kind of are all adjusting on the fly.
Steve Eisenman joins us on the Estonian Jansen program here on 97.1 The Ticket. You've been the general manager, got to watch Anthony Mantha up close for 2 years. It's documented he had some issues maybe with Blashill, where he was being benched, healthy scratches, compete level's been questioned. Did you take into consideration any of that when deciding to part ways with a talented guy who maybe has been disappointing at times?
I think Anthony, I didn't know him very well prior to coming in as far as the person. I enjoyed working with him. He's a very polite, very nice young man. Very talented player, and I want him to do well. I want this trade to work out for him. He's going to a real good team. Ultimately, you assess every situation and every player in the situation he's in. Ultimately, it came down to this. You know, we feel, regardless of how you or I or anyone feels positively or negatively about Anthony Mantha or whatnot, it really is irrelevant at this point. You know, what we're trying to do, again, we're trying to be as competitive as we can while we rebuild. And this trade allowed us to do that. We get a replacement for Anthony in Jakub Vrána, who, as you mentioned, he's been in a similar situation. He's recently been a healthy scratch in Washington. And for whatever reasons, I don't know, but so it works out for us in that we get a player that we think can fill Anthony's role, play in that role, and we get draft picks. So, that's why it was done ultimately. That was all the consideration.
Steve, you addressed this a little bit last night, and I'm wondering, after having thought about it and lived with it for a day now, if there's any different thoughts that you have on it. Why make this trade now instead of waiting until closer to the draft?
I would ask you, waiting for what?
Well, that's a great counter. I don't know. I'm wondering if getting closer to the draft, if maybe you have more options of teams that would be interested, and it would just increase your options. Not that your take would be anymore.
And I'm not trying to be a smartass by asking you that, but that's my answer. And that's what we debated is, okay, we can wait for what? And I guess my thought is, If you have something that you like, that you're comfortable with, you should act on it, because we don't know what's going to happen. You mentioned at the draft, that certainly is a possibility. That is definitely something that we considered is, should we wait and potentially have more teams available, more options available? And then when you're sitting there and you have a good option on the table, something that works with, my philosophy or my thinking is, if you got something you like now, do it, because you don't know what's going to happen down the line. But certainly we took that into consideration, is should we wait and do this at the draft? And had we not gotten anything comfortable, we would have simply waited, and or something that we're comfortable with, we would have waited and weighed our options at the draft.
Tell everybody what Vrána can bring to this team. Obviously, he's a restricted free agent. Chances are you probably want to re-sign him. What does he do? I know he's really fast, and he's a crafty playmaker.
Yeah, he's up and down his wing. Similar type player to Anthony. They're wingers that go straight up and down the wing. They're scorers. Anthony might be a little bit more of a playmaker, bigger body. Jakob, he's going to go up and down the wing, create scoring chances off the rush. I think he's real good, versatile on the power play and where he can play. I would consider him, we describe guys as shooters or playmakers. I think he's more of a shooter.
Okay.
Good goal scorer, but having watched him in Washington on a really good power play, it's tough to get ice time on that power play. I saw him play in different spots, whether it be in the slot or down low on the goal line a little bit, or even on the half wall. There's some flexibility there to play. But he's a left shot that generally plays on the right side. I think, I'm going to talk to him. I think he could either really play either side. But a good skater, good speed, that again, is good off the rush. And, AC's been, 24, 25 goal scorers. So the numbers are, similar to Anthony's in a lesser role because he was playing lesser minutes on a much better team, and we'll see how he does in a bigger increased role here in Detroit.
This past week, you were able to get 2/4, a fifth, getting rid of Patrick Nemeth and John Merrill, and the money you got in the Dennis Savard trade with Tampa and Columbus, that three-way deal. Now you have 1 and 2 as well. A lot of capital you have here. Were you disappointed at all that there wasn't, at least it seemed not to be much of a market for a guy like Glenn Denning, who, God, playoffs, talk about a guy who wins all the faceoffs. That's somebody that a team would crave, unless you guys just didn't want to give up a veteran in the locker room the rest of the way.
I guess as you're I'm disappointed is not the right word, but you get a sense as you get closer to the deadline, how much active or how active you're going to be, what the level of interest around the league is in your players, namely all of, you're in a team in our position, you're unrestricted free agents. We felt that it was going to be a different trade deadline. I'm sure you guys have debated it over time. That what's the trade deadline going to be like? Is it going to be different with the cap, with the lack of revenues, different divisional format, so on? We thought it was going to be different. We didn't really know. And then as we're leading up to the deadline, you get a sense for what it's going to be like. Things were relatively quiet leading up to the deadline. So Stoney, I wasn't terribly disappointed. I kind of felt like, it's going to be different. And then as we're getting closer, we're like, ooh, it's going to be quiet. We may not be as active as we think we might be, or people might hope we would be. And it's okay. I guess nothing I can really do about it. You can't, you can't force people to give you their draft picks and prospects and whatnot. So, we're okay. We did what we could do, and we move on from here. So I'm not disappointed. It's interesting. Ultimately, trade deadline ends and I go home and I watch the game and, feel pretty good about our team, where we're at right now and where we're going.
Final thing, you said watching the game. A lot of us, and we've done it over the past few years with not only you, obviously the Pistons, the Tigers as well, and even the Lions to a lesser extent, where you, as a fan, you look at what you have. You say, well, are they better off losing games? Young players play well, but lose, get in the, better position for the lottery. But your lottery luck has not been real good. So how do you watch these games?
It's funny. We all hate when we lose. We're all mad when we lose, and then when we win, we're do we really want to win? It's a strange kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
But I look at it as I'm watching the games. I'm really trying to evaluate. At each game, I watch players. Obviously, we want to win, but I really watch players when I watch games, and really you focus on your own team. So right now, I'm watching the guys that have been here all year and played a lot all year. I know them. We've got several unrestricted free agents. We've got to make decisions on whether we bring who or which of that group we bring back. And then now you know, I'm watching the young guys really. We have, you know, Lidstrom, Chalowski in the lineup. You're watching Michael Rasmussen. Giovanni Smith, just to see how they do. We got to make decisions on our roster next year on the, you know, protected for the expansion draft. So trying to figure things out. So as we go down the stretch here, that's really what I'm focused on. Ultimately, the, you know, like you say, it's tough to the draft lottery in our league. It is what it is, and it's unpredictable. So if you can sit there and say, I want to, you know, we want to lose every single game, and you still, there's no guarantees. It's hard to do that. So I'm happy that our young kids are playing and doing well. And you know what? The veterans are out there. The guys that are free agents, they're fighting for contracts for next year. There's scouts in the building. We're watching. So everyone's got a lot to play for. So at the end of the day, if our team plays well, we're happy.
All right, Steve, thanks as always. And not that it makes a difference, but every analyst that I've seen gave you and the team A's for what you were able to accomplish yesterday. So kudos for that if it means anything. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great, guys. Enjoyed speaking with you. Have a great day.
All right. That's Steve Yzerman, the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.